CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Today we have spiritual coach Ragini Michaels, author of Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, and Peaceful No Matter What, helping us bring spirituality into the common stressors in your life. Fans out there, make sure to get more shows like this one at www.fireduppwithcj.com. I'm Cassandra. I'm live at CBS Sky Radio, and we're going to go right back to CJ and Ragini.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is what I sound like when I'm in an altered state and I've done nothing but talk to Ragini, which I find just amazing. Just being in your presence has energetically vibrated me to some higher level, of which I'm thankful and a little bit spacey. But we're back. Welcome back, Ragini.
It's nice to be here. It's always fun.
So you're telling us about Osho, who is a guru, a controversial guru.
Was
a controversial guru. And you described him as your primary master, which I find is interesting. Because I think of master as being, then does that mean you're a slave? Like, what does that mean? What does it mean to have a guru? What is a guru? What does it mean to have a guru and have that person be your primary master?
Well, primarily a guru is your teacher, your spiritual teacher. To have one is a great blessing in many ways, depending on whether or not he or she is a real guru. Mm-hmm. The term master, I think, is a very interesting thing for Westerners. Mm-hmm. When I say the word master, what I mean is this is a human being who has mastered their mind.
Mm.
They live primarily, their place of residence is not in the mind, but outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's in this other domain. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have a mind, right? They use the mind the same as anybody else does. But the reason why you use the term master is because they have mastered this goal of actually being able to live in the human body with a mind and be at the head, at the helm. Right. This is like being the CEO of your own company. You can direct all the different departments to do what you want done. And the master has everything in its organization, you know, in its little company, does what he or she wants it to do.
Right.
All right. Rather than, so everything serves this higher goal of the spiritual dimension. People call it your higher self, your soul, whatever it is, your oversoul, doesn't matter. Everything then becomes in alignment with that goal of helping you return home to the source from which you came. From a spiritual perspective, that's the purpose of the journey, is to get you back home to the source that you came from. Of course, first you have to know that you're more than your mind, so you discover that you have a spark of divinity in you. And then the game is, how do you get that spark of divinity back home to the source so that you no longer feel separate?
So in that particular case, you were hoping, when you follow a guru, it's partially like, well, you did it. Well, what'd you do?
It's very inspirational to have a guru if it's the right guru for you.
Right.
Okay. And for me, I could not follow anyone who was setting up to be this way was okay and to be that way was not okay.
Okay.
For me, that was not the path that I could follow.
Right.
Because it denied the beauty and the beast inside. All right. My goal was to find some way to live with me as I am.
Right.
Even while I'm trying to become better.
Right.
Right. So the Osho, who I was with for many, many years, it was 13 years that he was in the body that I was his disciple. A couple years before that, I was reading his books. And then after he left his body or died, I hung around the Osho teachings and that energy for about another 20 years. You know, before it
did you hang out with Osho people, or you consider a disciple, even though 20 years you weren't with his living?
I wasn't with a living master anymore, and that's a difference, because a living master really gets you on the line, right? Because you have to, you then you're like, oh, do I do what he's telling or not? Do what he's saying or not? But you know, it's a fine line to have a master. You know, it's a fine line. And no, I didn't hang out with a lot of sannyasins. are followers of disciples of Osho afterwards. But to this day, my best friends are also, were also followers, and they're scattered all around the world.
Mm. So what were things that he'd ask you to do during those 13 years? I know one of them was wearing an orange robe, which you find hideous.
One was wearing orange and a mala, which is a thing you wear around your neck. It's beads. You've seen them.
Oh, yes.
Christian.
Now you'd look hip and cool.
Yeah, now I would look. But this was in 1977.
Yes.
There was only two other people in Seattle who were wearing orange and a mala around your neck, which is the beads, and then it had a little picture of him at the bottom.
Oh, wow.
Oh, this was very challenging.
Yeah.
But the reason to do it, it was a technique. It was a method to start to cut identification with your dependence on how the outside world saw you.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just like, haha, I'm making Ragini look hideous and orange and wearing my thing.
And changing your name.
That and changing, yeah, changing your name. Your name used to be what?
It used to be Liz Hodge.
Liz Hodge?
Before that, it was Betty.
Oh, my God. I'm shocked.
Then it became Ragini Michaels.
And he gave you a new name. He said, and what's the purpose of giving you a new name?
Again, to cut your identification with your conditioning and with your reliance on being a part of society, not being a part of society, but getting the approval of society to feel that you're okay.
Right.
Okay. To know that you're okay regardless. You know, was part of the goal here.
Wow.
But I must say that I cheated in the beginning. I only wore orange on the top. I refused to wear complete orange. I had blue jeans on all the time.
Yeah, you looked like you'd be running out of prison or something. I guess that is hard.
It was very
hard. So these challenges were designed with really as ways of like, these are tools to help you move to a different place. And so it's much like we were talking in last week about obstacles are almost like, purposely place obstacles for you to learn something about yourself.
Now, that was back in the 70s. Today, most people are not going to ask you to, most spiritual teachers are not going to ask you to do stuff like that. Things have evolved. People are more aware of certain things, you know, wrong.
But why not? I think it seems like it's a good thing. Why not?
It's helpful. I mean, it was really helpful for me to change my name because it broke my association with being who I thought I was, which was pretty not okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so this way, Ragini could do things that Liz never could.
That's fascinating.
And it was just interesting in the psychological perspective to see that having a new name freed me to explore different parts of myself
that
Liz could not do.
Yeah.
Wasn't allowed to do. And of course, Betty wasn't even, she was just like totally unaware.
Yeah. I changed my name too. Because when I was in high school, my real name is Mildred Shichuan. And so Lou. And so people would call me Millie Lou. And then I was moving down south and I thought, they're going to call me Millie. They'd say, Millie Lou, what's your last name? And I'd say Lou. And they'd say, Millie Lou Lou. And I was like, oh my God, I can't deal with this.
Call
me CJ. So I actually changed my name too. But you know what? Doing that was freeing.
It is freeing. It's very freeing. But I think that having had a master, and I prefer master over guru, but you do have to be careful, you know, because you don't want to get behind.
Because you said, how do you know that's a real guru, right?
Yeah, you don't want to get into a cult.
Right.
You know, because a cult is really, if you look at it, it's based on the personality of the leader.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on an individual. So part of how you can know whether or not you're in a safer place with a real guru or whatever, or a cult leader, is does the person who's the head of it truly tell you over and over again that it's not them, that they're not the issue, that you're the issue? You know, and rather than asking you to bow down to them as a person, you know, you never want to do that. That's not the game. That's not a true
spiritual
game.
So if they say, please bow down to me, they say, please bow down to the master within you?
Yes. Okay. Like one of the things Osho always said is you have a Buddha within you. I don't know why you don't see it. I do.
Right.
And so it was very clear that even though he was the master, he was very clear in his speaking that it was not about adoring him. It was about finding the master within you. In this case, the Buddha within you, as he talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So a true guru, a true master, from my point of view, will always be guiding you back to yourself for all the answers. Not to them, but back to yourself. Because from the spiritual perspective, everything you ever need, you already have.
So if you said,
I'm really trying to figure out what to do with respect to X, Y, and Z. He'd say, well, Ragini, what do you feel? Like, what would he say so that you would go back to yourself versus giving you an answer?
Well, it would be a little more complicated than just that. But ultimately, the answer is go inside and look at what the dilemma is that mm-hmm. you're in, because you're in a dilemma. You know, this is why my work relates to dilemmas so much, because it's so much of what we spend our time in life trying to figure out. Okay, and when you go inside and you look and you are calm and still, an answer is there about what you're to do. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean you don't have to do a lot of psychological work and cleanup work to even be able to have some quiet in your mind,
right,
and in your side of yourself. So it's not a simple thing in the sense that you can just turn your attention inside and find the answer. You know, you could have a ton of, it took me like maybe 15 years to figure out my whole incorrect attitude towards relationship and love.
Right, right. So it sounds like to just say like, oh, the guru is going to have you go inside to get the answer is only part of the solution. Yes, you'll have to go inside to find the answer. But what if your inside is like a messy house full of,
Where it's valuable to have a guru or a master, is that if they're the real deal, their energy being in their field helps to clean all that stuff up. Okay, so it's
they clean your, help clean your house. I want a guru to do that,
but only if you're willing to do the work.
Yeah, if you're open to do the work.
Yeah, somebody once said the guru or the master will only do for you what you can't do for yourself, which I think is interesting. So what can I not do for myself?
Yes.
I can't lift my consciousness to another level because my house is too messy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the other level of consciousness can be given to support me if you have someone who's a true master helping you. So, you know, there are certain merits to having a master.
What does it mean to lift your consciousness? I mean, do you just feel like I'm having a profound thought? How did I come up with that? I mean, is that what does it feel like?
You might go inside and say, I need an answer or whatever. Mm-hmm. I need clarity. But you made the effort to go inside and start looking around. Mm-hmm. Then you might feel a sense of clarity arise or something that you didn't do, but it's like people call it this descending of grace.
Mm.
You get grace comes in.
From being in the vibrational energy of that person.
In reality, the grace is coming from inside of you. And a really powerful master will remind you of that.
Right. But, you know, what they're doing is kind of vibrational. Holding you at a higher level. Okay.
Yeah.
What else can't you do that only they can do? Is that what you said? You said you can't do for yourself.
Well, I think part of the problem is that we think we spend, you know, a lot of time going, please, please give me the strength to do X, but we don't actually engage in X. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you an example. Let's say you're having trouble with food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like in the evening, sometime around 8 or 9 o'clock, I get, you know, my head is deluged with pictures of, you know, ice cream sandwiches and chocolate cake, almonds and, you know, whatever. All right. So I can sit there and I can say, oh, please give me the energy to not follow this. Please help me. Please help me. But I don't make the effort inside of my head to change what I'm thinking.
Right.
Right. Like I don't put an X through everything. You know,
right.
I X through the chocolate cake.
Right.
That's my effort, to put an X through the chocolate cake.
Right.
My effort is to put an X through the ice cream sandwich and maybe to see my master instead.
Mm.
Okay. So that would be like me making the effort. If I make that effort, chances are you're going to succeed in not eating the food.
Right.
But you have to make the effort.
Right.
And then the energy to not eat the food is what your master gives you.
Okay, got it.
Or gives you the support.
Is it primarily the energy? Is there anything else that...
No, it's energy.
Yeah.
You know, guidance. I mean, I think it's guidance.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you the experience of other states because you're in the presence of someone who's living in a higher state than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, these states become real to you, which is incredibly useful. If you're on a mystical path, you want it to be real.
Mm-hmm.
So guidance, experience of states that make it more real, and it quiets down your cynicism and your doubt because you're having these experiences of the other states of consciousness.
Right. It starts feeling like a real thing.
Yeah. Now, it's one of the downsides, because there are downsides to everything, is that if you hang around a guru too long and you're not looking at it properly, you'll end up giving up your responsibility for your actions.
Hmm? Okay.
And you'll stop making your decisions because you're relying on the guru to tell you what to do. Right? This is if you hang there too long, you know, and without coming back to yourself. If you keep looking at the guru and not at yourself, then it can be a problem.
Yes.
And sometimes what happens when you're in this whole thing is you...
Okay.
Are we done?
Yeah, I think we need a break.
Oh.
So we're going to be taking a break, and we'll be right back.